It can be an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's probably more important than ever to plan your healthcare decisions and financial and legal matters at the end of life. The University of Hawaii Elder Law Program at the William S. Richardson School of Law teaches students about elder law and provides legal services to seniors and their caregivers. James Peach is the director of the program, also known as UHelp. He spoke with The Conversation's Jason Ubai about advanced health care directives and something called PULSE, or provider orders for life-sustaining treatment.
COVID-19 has forced many of us to think about our own mortality and what happens to us, and especially if we should become isolated. And folks need to plan ahead. If you think about it, perhaps some of the people who are shut in the nursing facilities don't have an advance directive or haven't talked to their doctors about these issues, or more likely, even if they have talked about advance directives and have an advance directive or a PULSE form, they may have changed their mind about how they view end-of-life decisions because it's such a deadly virus, but with proper treatment, most people do survive. And so many people may be rethinking what they have in their advance directive. So we've set up a new page on our website which addresses the COVID-19 issues, practical and legal issues. Even with the spread of the virus to nursing facilities, it hasn't been dramatic, a spread, but we still have the underlying issue of what do these folks in the facility want if they're still capacitated to make decisions, and if they are incapacitated, what really matters to them? Would a short-term coma, being placed in short-term coma or on a respirator, not be as difficult to them to imagine as it would just last year or whenever they may have made their advance directive? I know several people who have called say, I'm not so certain that I want to automatically refuse the tube feeding and resuscitation because of what we've heard is that many times you do need to have some form of intervention, and is the old advance directive adequate under COVID-19 circumstances?
From an older person's point of view, if they're in care, what kind of things should they be thinking about in their advance directive now? Or now that the coronavirus is out there and that we kind of know what treatment is necessary to combat it?
Yeah, that's exactly the area that would be important, is to have a better understanding of what treatments are available and what would you want. So on our new tab on our website, our COVID-19 tab, on that website we have some external links to COVID-19 amendments to advance directives. And one of those links provides in great detail the different approaches and methodologies of delivering oxygen, for example, and what that entails. And then in that amendment, the person can select how far they want to go. Some people would still just rely on the very simple format that most people have in their advance directives, is that I don't want to have my life prolonged under circumstances where I'm no longer able to make decisions. But when does your advance directive go into effect? What decisions have you already made? And are there some amendments that you would like to make under COVID-19 circumstances? The other big document is the provider orders for life-sustaining treatment form, and that is not an advance directive. And the provider or emergency medical services may not even look for your advance directive but rely completely on the pulsed form. And the pulsed form it can be rather dramatic because it's a immediately actionable order of your physician or advanced practice registered nurse. And what does that say? Many people in long-term care facilities have been urged to execute pulse. Do they really want it to be so dramatic that they refuse resuscitation or refuse tube feeding? But what if some of these interventions are available that may save your life? What are your thoughts? And again, some people would say, no, just leave it the way it is. I don't want anything extraordinary to be done. Others may say, well, you know, I'd like to talk about that. And that's the most important thing, is that the individual who is faced with these decisions should talk to the healthcare provider, to the family members, to caregivers, and discuss the medicine, the science, what their own feelings, and then they can either keep their old advanced directives or think about doing an amendment or execute a brand new advanced directive and or pulsed form. The pulsed form, even if a person doesn't have a pulsed form, most people don't know that the legally authorized representative of an incapacitated person, even a person who has an advanced directive, the legally authorized representative, who could be the guardian, the agent under a power of attorney, or a legal surrogate, can initiate and execute a pulse, can change the patient's pulse, or can modify that pulse. So we're not trying to frighten anybody, but we just want to give more information if they haven't thought about the balance that we have with the advanced directive and the pulse and how they overlap. But what do you have in your medical file, if anything? And if you don't have anything in the medical file, well, maybe you should think about that, because this pandemic has certainly showed us that anyone can die at any time, and perhaps in isolation. It may be too late by the time you're in isolation to do much about it, except having people around you either trying to save your life or trying to figure out what your wishes really were.
It sounds like the pandemic has just really showed that these things that we should have in place are really important as this pandemic goes on, and these things can change really quickly.
Yes, and advanced directives have two key parts to them. One is the part that has the individual instructions for healthcare that I've been mainly talking about now. But the other one, and just as important, is the ability to designate an agent to carry out your decisions, and this would be a prime person to let them know what your feelings are, what matters to me most in life. And on our website, there's we have a handbook. It's called Deciding What Matters and What to Do. So the handbook is on the website, and especially important for this type of a discussion is our chapter 2, Planning for Medical Treatment, Healthcare Decisions, and Decisions at the End of Life. So I believe that it's most important that people have the knowledge, and then they can make better decisions. And whatever philosophy they may have about end of life, they can hopefully rest assured that their wishes will be followed.
UHelp has been hearing more reports of abuse and neglect and financial exploitation. Can you talk about that, if you think it's related to the COVID-19 pandemic?
What we've been mainly getting calls about is when people who have either diminished capacity or are under undue influence change their disposition plans for their estates, or they may be more susceptible to having people just sign documents that they don't even know what they're signing. So some of our colleagues in the medical field are just really suspicious when they see lawyers and family members come to to the bedside. That's not happening right now, but it's an indication that people who are subject to diminished capacity and who may be under undue influence from family members or even strangers, it's even more important for somebody to keep an eye on them to make sure that these things aren't happening. We've seen families where one attorney and a notary go into a facility and make documents to undo what another child has recently done, and who knows what the patient or the resident really wanted in those situations. Very often things go bad for older persons, and many people are disappointed at the end of life, and you can see that in the newspapers on famous cases where it's not going the way they had hoped it would go at the end of life. And is it because they lack the ability to stand up and to fight the abuse against them, or is it that they've that their minds have changed and they really can't make rational decisions?
That was James Peach, director of the University of Hawaii Elder Law Program. To find out more about the resources and the COVID-19 concerns, visit our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.